The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, oh, man, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Oh, boy. And, hey, I just want to let you know that we've got some things in the works, early stages of the works. One of the things is we're going to be converting the schools to a new system. It's going to be involved, and we're going to be working on that. I talked with the web designer about this today, and that's in the works. It'll take a few months, but we're working on that. And also, we're going to be changing the homepage a little bit and the navigation a little bit because the navigation thing has turned into a bit of a debacle. It's kind of technical stuff, and we're going to be working on that as well. So there'll be some changes there, a little here, a little there. Not a big deal. All right. And let's see. We have five open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, here we go. So for the newbies, this is a Christian apologetic show. We talk about anything and everything here, mainly Christian theology, biblical theology, the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Trinity, hypostatic union, communicatio idiomatum, justification, imputation, Roman Catholicism, Islam, aliens, UFOs, women pastors and elders, all kinds of stuff. We just study. I study a lot, and been doing radio for a long, long time, and love answering questions and talking about all that kind of stuff. So why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, I just wanted to say that some of you may be familiar with the Grace Life Church in Canada, James Coates, who had a service in spite of the ridiculous laws in Canada to not have church services. Yeah. So they had church services, and he was arrested and spent a few weeks in jail, from what I understand. And then when he got out, the first Sunday, they had a church service. They did it anyway. And I watched today on a video, I watched the live presentation of the breaking news. James Coates Church gated and closed in Alberta. So apparently what happened was the government hired a fence company to put a fence around the church and hired security to be inside that perimeter of fence to prevent Christians from going into their churches. Now, pretty serious. It's pretty serious. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that's going to happen here in America? Yeah, of course it is. Do you think that when the secular leftists get in control, that they're going to play nicey-wicey with Christians and the freedom that we have and the freedom of speech and the freedom to assemble and to disagree with the Lord by many names, by many different faiths, a man and a woman? Close quote. You know, what do I say? It's just, it's a blasphemy. You know, the leftist agenda does not want us in our schools or in our society to know about the Christian influence and the Christian foundation of the early foundational fathers of our country. And they've rewritten history, they've reinterpreted a lot of things, and, you know, our country is on the precipice of self-destruction. And the reason I say that is because year 2020, of course, was a bad year. In my opinion, 2021 is going to be even worse. And I got reasons for saying that. If you want to talk about it, we can. But I believe that God's grace and staying hand is being removed from our country. There's some things I know about and heard about, but they're verified to be very, very disturbing. As our leaders abandon the true living God, as it happened in the Old Testament, when Israel would abandon the true living God, Okay, I guess we're back on. We had a little bit of a tech problem. I don't know how much you guys heard or didn't hear, so I'll just go over it again. Grace Life Church is located in Alberta, Canada, and they put a fence around it. And they block the Christians from going into their own church. And they put armed guards inside, security inside the gates, police are inside and everything. The Christians are outside, and you can't get in. So I have, actually I have the video, I have a link to it. What I'm going to do, let me get that link, you can put it up on Carm during a break or something like that. Just put it as a link and you guys can look at the video and see. Not that big a deal, but for those of you who are interested, I'll put that up during the break. And I'll just put it up as an article, and it'll be a nothing article, just has a little bit of information and a link. So here's the thing, is this kind of oppression that happening? It happens there. It's going to happen here. My question, I don't know if you heard this, but it'll tech issue there. Do you think that when the secular leftists gain even more control that they have now, do you think they're going to play nice with the Christians? Do you think that they're going to say, "Hey, you disagree with homosexuality, abortion, pornography, adultery, lying, cheating, and stealing? You guys disagree with that. Well, we're going to silence you for your conservative views." Do you think that's going to happen more than it already is happening? The answer is, of course it's going to happen more. Do you think the secularists who don't serve God but serve their own flesh and serve the enemy of the gospel, do you think they're going to just say, "Hey, we want Christians to be able to have their views"? No, they're going to find ways to to mask the issue. And instead of having a pandemic, it'll be a plandemic. They plan it out and then to get control of people. So this is what I believe is going to happen, because I know human nature. I know what the Bible says about human nature, and it's not nice. None of us are good. None of us deserve salvation, and we need to be saved by nothing more than the grace of God in the work of Jesus Christ on that cross. So Grace Life is being walled off by two layers of security fencing and a black tarp to obscure the entrance to the church. RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and Private Paladin Security are here. RMCP have no documentation to present to the church regarding the closure, but are keeping members off the property. So this is important. This is in Canada. And as we know, crud rolls downhill. It's coming to us. It's just going to take some time, a little bit more time. And Christians, I'm telling you, don't sit idly by. Don't sit idly by. We're going to lose our rights. I've been warning people. I've been telling people this is what happens if we do nothing. And we better do something. So let's read. One person said in the chat room, "Leftists would hang us in the public square if they thought they could." That's what one person said. I'm just reading the chat. So if you want to participate in the chat, we have a live radio show, but you can also watch online. Just go to carm.org/carm.org. That's it. And you'll see on the home link, on the homepage, you'll see the video there. You can watch. And there's a video address for Twitter and some other stuff. Anyway, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jason from Iowa. Hey, Jason, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you doing?
How's it going? You're a difficult guy to get a hold of, you know that? Every time I've called, I've either had to get off and you got your little beep line or whatever. But
no, it's because we know it's you.
I've called a couple of times.
It doesn't know it's you, so I just stall.
Yeah. Right. You just continue to ramble, and you're like, "Oh, hey, don't you need to talk about that?"
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. No. So I wanted to touch base with you. Yesterday, I heard your talk on the vaccines, right?
Yeah.
And so you were talking about like mRNA and which ones. So the my wife's a BSN. She's ever studied microbiology, virology, and basically the reason the mRNA is bad. First of all, they skipped human trials, so there was none of that done before the vaccine was put out.
Whoa.
And I had a video, maybe I can email it to you at info.carm, or yeah. info at, dot, you know, carm.com.
.org, yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, .org. But it was basically a published research scientist that was talking about the cause of mRNA, because it's not necessarily bad in the sense, it's just... they did not remove certain, I'm going to say it wrong. It's like peptide proteins or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially the base root of the vaccine. And
okay.
So the way virus receptors work is it's like a flat surface with nodules that have it, right? And the virus can come and attach to those receptors or those nodules.
Mm-hmm.
And the mRNA vaccines trick your body into supposedly only producing those receptor nodules.
Okay.
However, because they left the peptide proteins in from the deconstructed virus slices, and somebody probably more scientific could explain this better, but it has the opportunity to change your DNA, and that's where that concern is. But the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is not that.
Yeah, the J&J is what I've been hearing about is a good one. It seems to be the old style, which I'm not against vaccines.
Yeah.
Though I do suspect that my autism might be the result of vaccination. We got it in the military.
Sure.
My dad was in the military. I got vaccinated up the wazoo. And so we think that might be part of it. But whatever. So I'm not against vaccines. Just over-vaccination. Too much, too soon, and too quick, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I've been hearing about the J&J. I've heard that it's pretty good. But the other ones are DNA-altering. And I don't want them messing with my DNA. It's already messed up enough as it is.
Right. Yeah, so the thing that I find interesting is what they said, like 150 million vaccines out of the J&J factory.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single one of them's actually been accessible by the public. They've, for whatever quality control or something.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw an article on it this morning, something like that. So J&J is actually stepping in, and they're taking complete control of their factories because I don't know if they think like somebody's messing with it or just violating quality control practices, scientific practice, whatever.
That makes me nervous.
No, I just thought that was interesting that you talked about that. Yeah, it does. I mean, it's just, but, who knows.
So why would the one that's not DNA-altering suddenly be inaccessible and the DNA-altering one is?
Yeah, so, So the J&J, basically it's like the I don't know if FDA... like quality control issues or if it's factory quality control issues, something like that. But you say something like, well, it's just the devil interfering and people are going to laugh at you. It could be,
Well, you know what? There's so much crud going on. You don't know what to believe about anything anymore. I mean, is it conspiracy, not conspiracy? Is it just legitimate oops or what? What vaccine could do this? I mean, why is everyone walking around wearing face diapers when basically we've reached herd immunity and people, 70% of the population has already experienced COVID? We're walking around. Why have masks? We don't need them anymore.
Yeah, as I throw my mask on to walk into this medical building because I can't get in without it. So.
Right, I understand. Anyways,
that was my two cents. I just wanted
to
chat. Get good to talk to you.
Good, come back and give me some three cents worth because that'd be even better. And
your wife
knows about all this genetics and stuff like this.
Yeah. So she's a nurse. She has her RNBSN and studied microbiology, virology. Her dad is a.
I'd like to talk to her.
I'd like to talk to her.
Seriously,
With
your permission, because she's your wife, but we got a break coming up. But I want to study this stuff for different reasons as well.
I'll see if I can't find that video and send that to you, too. He talks about it a lot. So.
Okay, buddy. Hey, we got a break. Okay, God bless, man.
God bless. We'll see you.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Hey, folks. Reopen lines. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, as I said, I'd do it during the break, and I did. If you go to the CARM homepage, I just put a little link. You can see it, the link for the Alberta Church thing if you want to watch the video. And just you can watch a few minutes of it and you can see it. I'll leave the link up for a little bit and then take it down after a while. But there it is on the church closure, fencing it in so people can't go to church because the lame COVID restriction laws and inconsistency is attacking the conservatives. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Courtney, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Sorry, my question doesn't have to do with that. Is that okay?
Yeah, fine. We're just talking whatever. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. I was wondering, was Adam a son of God?
Depends what you mean by son of God. But in
like
one sense...
Like how we are.
Like, well,
children of God.
Yeah, we're declared the son of God. We're the sons of God by the Spirit. And so we would say that we're saved. And so therefore, by adoption, we're sons of God. The question then becomes, mm-hmm. was Adam saved? And my position is, yes, he was, because the pre-incarnate Christ was in the garden and shed blood, animals covered with animal skins, which is an atoning sacrifice, and so covered him, and I would say Adam was saved. So in that sense, yes, he was a son of God. The term son of God is in reference to Christ being God in flesh. It's also in reference to angels. And in Job 1, I think, believe 6, talks about that. So, you know, in that sense,
so
yes.
What was he before he was saved?
What was Adam before he was saved?
Yeah.
That's a good question, because that's an interesting question.
That's what I was referring to, yeah.
Well, because I never thought about it this way, but when Adam was first created, if he'd have died right there, he'd gone to be with the Lord, because there was no sin. And so then he did sin, so it's not an issue of salvation, because salvation means to be saved from the judgment of God due to your sin. So it wouldn't apply to Adam before he was fallen. But after, when he was during his fallen state, it would seem as though he, this is an interesting question to think about that, it seemed as though he would have been lost, that if he'd have died, maybe he would have gone to hell, but the Lord stepped in and atoned for him, made a sacrifice, and so then he was okay. So that,
right.
Yeah,
so before
one.
That happened, like you were saying, when before he did sin, what was he?
He was in a state of righteousness. He had not done anything wrong, so he was okay.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been. I was just wondering, was he a child of God then? I mean, he definitely was.
Well, it depends. It depends on how we define the term child of God, because if it means by adoption, you know, after the resurrection of Christ, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But if, you know, child of God in the sense that he's the offspring of God in a generic metaphoric sense, then yes, because it's used in different ways, you know, and when he's received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. You know, John 1:12 talks about that. So, and did Adam receive the sacrifice? So it would seem to be the case that he did, because it was applied to him. So then, in that sense, would he be a child of God? So it's a good question. You know, it's something to think about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And like if I could add on one to that, I don't know if you have lots of people behind me.
Just one person waiting, three open lines. Folks, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I was just going to say, like a question to go with that, that I heard a pastor say this, and I didn't agree with it, that he said that it wasn't God that did the sacrifice for Adam, it was Adam himself. And I was like, I think Genesis 3:21 specifically says that God did it.
Yeah.
Like, did the sacrifice.
Yeah, let me go to that verse and get rid of that right there. Then the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Yeah, so it was the Lord who did it. Yeah, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, so I was like, when I heard him say that, I was like, that can't. I mean, the way I interpret that, God literally was the one that did it.
Yeah, and that's all you can do is you can go through what it says. So I don't know where that guy got that information, but it wasn't. It's not in Scripture.
Okay. Yeah. And thanks for the help with the first question too, because I wondered about that before. I'm like, was he considered a child of God? But okay, yeah, that helped. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right.
Okay, thanks. I'll let you go to your next caller.
All right,
okay, bye bye.
Thanks. All right. Hey folks, you have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Yes. I make people uncomfortable. Yes, we talk about controversial things because the Bible addresses everything, and everything is under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So all kinds of topics are a fair game. And if you want to have any discussion on biblical theology, biblical issues, topics, things like that, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Martin from Virginia. Martin, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got, buddy?
Good. Good. First time caller, long time listener. Haven't been online with your forum yet, but I'm planning on getting online there soon.
Yeah, there's a good bunch of people, like 50 people there right now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So I think it's 1 Corinthians. It's the very end there where talking about the wealthy or the rich. I just want to get your thoughts on that. I think it was like the very last handful of... I think it's 1 Corinthians. Might be 2 Corinthians, but I think it's 1.
And what's the context? What's it about?
About the wealthy or the rich, I think.
But having money, whether we should or should not, that kind of thing?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking one thing, and then I read the side notes, and the side notes kind of led me to a different ending, but I just want to get your thoughts.
Well, you know, is it okay to have money? I think that's the issue. Is it okay to be a millionaire as a Christian? Absolutely, yes. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can't. I mean, you can't help it. You have God-given talents and gifts.
That's why I'm not rich.
And depending on where you live, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure you're not gutter poor. A lot of your listeners might not be either. But, you know, that's not a sin,
right?
Obviously. I don't believe.
Right. Having lots of money is fine. You get lots of money, you know, make more money so that you can support ministry, so that you can tithe and support the work of God. That would be the reason, the primary reason to make money. You want to provide for your family, and you want to provide work for other people, if that's possible, and, you know, to be able to tithe and support. That's it. God gives us. You know, there's a verse, 1 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles 29:19, I forgot. And it says, they're building the temple, and it says, it's from your hand, Lord, that we give back to you. And I love that, because that's true. We want to give back and what God has given us. So if you have a lot of money, then support us, you know, I mean, not us, but I mean, you know, support ministries and stuff like that, and tithe.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I believe that. God's gifts flow, seen and unseen, and it's good to pay a lot forward and a lot back. So.
Right, and you know, there's different things that people can do to help other people. You don't have to just tithe at a church. In fact, we get back. I'll tell you some other options you can do. Tithing to a church is very good, but we can talk about some other things too. Hold on, okay, Martin? All right.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, hey folks, we have 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We had a little tech problem during the break. It's kind of a convenient time to do it. Rebooted the Comrex, back on, so hope everything's okay. All right, and for the people in the chat room who panicked because the sound went dead, hey, everything's all right. So let's get back on the line with Martin from Virginia. All right, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to hear about the Canadian church there getting kind of gated in there. It's
Yeah.
You're right, and it's good hearing you offer up the sentinel call that, you know, it's coming.
It's coming.
Just be prepared and be prepared to fight it.
We need an organization here to be organized and fight. A lot of people don't understand something. In every single world war that America's been in, there's always been people, POWs who've escaped, except for one war we were in, and that was the Korean War. And that was because what the Koreans did is they simply took out the leaders, removed them. And then everybody was just a bunch of sheep, and they didn't know what to do, didn't organize. So this is what's happening in a sense. The conservatives are being ousted and are not allowed to rally the troops, so to speak. This is one of the ploys that the secular left is using, as they silence conservatives. We can't get organized. So we need to be organized in order to fight against the onslaught of secularism. Now, people will think, you know, a lot of people are going to think that, Matt, your job as a theologian, that you shouldn't be talking about this kind of stuff. Well, that's wrong, because we are, theologically, we're to be involved in every area of life. This is what the Bible tells us to do. Make disciples of all nations, so all nations. Jesus is Lord over every bit of life, not just church life and your Sunday morning. So we Christians are obligated to do, not just pray, but to pray and do. I have a saying, trust and go. You trust God, you pray, you work, you know, pray and go. Go do. And God opens the doors for those who do something. So that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You've got to have that faith. You're saved by faith and through God's grace. And if you have the works to back it up, I mean, it's hard to have works when you don't have the faith.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the pray and do kind of falls in that line.
That's right. Well, let me give you a quick example of it. Because years ago, I was with my roommate before I got married. And I was supposed to go to a Christian Science lecture and pass out literature against Christian Science because it's not Christian cult. This is Southern California. And I forgot to get the address in a city called Tustin. And we lived in Anaheim, which is where Disneyland is. Anyway, so I said, you know what? I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to go down there and see if I can find in you know, 150,000 people in a city. I'm going to see if I can find the one small building they're having a meeting at. And my roommate said, well, I'll go with you. And, you know, long story short, we actually found the place very quickly, even before they got out. And it was just weird how things happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I told the story before,
The
point is, you know, if you're not trusting God and going, the miraculous things don't happen. And then people say, well, I'm not going to do anything because the miraculous didn't happen. That's because you're not doing anything.
Yeah, the Spirit's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Spirit's out there. The Spirit, you just got to connect with it and pray hard and trust.
That's right. So.
Okay, Matt, I know you got another caller. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right, buddy. All right, God bless. Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, some of the other ways to help people out is you can go pay people's bills. You know, say there's a mom who doesn't have, you know, she's working two jobs trying to make ends meet. And, you know, you just go pay a bill that she's got. You know, things like that. You know, there's things that people can do. And it can be imaginative in all kinds of ways of helping people out. We talked about that before the break and different ways to help. All right. Anyway, let's get to Danny from Richmond, Virginia. Danny, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Barely surviving.
I've been listening to you talking about the COVID shots the last couple of nights.
Yeah.
And you don't seem to be aware that the Johnson & Johnson shot, I believe, was developed by from cell lines from aborted babies.
You know, I'd heard that, and I have to research it. And there's an ethical issue there, because what I'd heard
that's why I'm called.
Yeah. What I'd heard was that the cells that they used are from like the 60s or the 70s, and they've been growing them and distributing them. And that's one of the things I'd heard. There was a woman who had a tumor of some sort. This is so vague. But I remember, and they grew this tumor. She passed away. They grew this tumor. And it has distributed around the country because it has certain properties that they run tests on, and it helps with vaccines or whatever it is they need to do. So, okay, so what do you do? You know, the Nazis, for example, they experimented on the Jews, and they gained a lot of medical information. So what do? Do you use that medical information they gained from that kind of stuff, or do you not? If you don't, then people won't get saved as much, helped. Yet, if you do, they're benefiting from the torture of other people. So what do you do? And these are questions that ethicists have to deal with, and the scriptures don't tell us exactly what to do in those kind of cases. So the J&J, I got to research, I got to find out more and see. And then I have to talk to some other theologians about this, because my initial reaction is I want nothing to do with it if it's from sacrificed babies. You know,
that was my opinion.
Yeah. So then what, you know? And then what do you do if they start saying you can't buy or sell if you don't have your vaccination passport?
Absolutely.
And so I would rather, my druthers, I'd rather have a DNA-altering one than using one that uses sacrificed baby cells, you know? But then we're just being put between a rock and a hard place. And this is what the way of the secularist organization is. But you know what's going to happen is people are going to have underground vaccine passports that you can get. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Biden administration came out yesterday saying they won't, they're not in favor of that.
Well, they're not in favor of the passport thing, the requirement.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Get your papers.
Press secretary announced that.
Well, you know,
anyway,
my parents...
I wanted to know...
My parents said something... Yeah, I do. My parents said something very interesting. They told me, because my dad was in World War II, my mom worked on B-17 wings in a factory, and they said the Social Security was developed during the war to help fund the war effort, and it was promised that it would only be temporary, and Social Security numbers and all this stuff, and here we are. Now we have to have this to do everything. So when they get power, they don't give it up. When they get control, they don't give it up.
Right.
I'm really worried. See, I'm a pessimist when it comes to human nature because I believe what the Bible says. Yeah. That's it.
Absolutely.
I believe what the Bible says. I don't trust people unless they love Jesus and are willing to die for Jesus. Then I'll trust you. Okay, but other than that...
Amen. Oh,
that's right. That's how it goes.
Amen.
Okay.
So you personally would stay away from the J&J side as well right now, right?
Right now, from what I understand, I would. From what you said, you reminded me about that. But I got to find out more. So, you know, I don't need a vaccine. I've had COVID. I had it. So why do I need a vaccine? My immunity's in place. So,
well, I haven't had it. I'm 69 years old, but I'm not that concerned about it. Never have been.
Yeah, I'm 64.
I don't even see a reason to have the vaccine.
You don't need it. No.
It has a 99.75 survival rate.
Yep. That's right. And you may have already had it with not even knowing it. Okay.
That's not very possible. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right. But if you're really obstreperous and irritating like me, then the germs don't fight you as much.
I might be just as ornery as you are.
Maybe. Maybe. My wife will probably shake her head right now. Not the case. No. So who knows?
All right. Well, thank you, Matt.
All right. All right. Well, God bless. Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir. Bye.
All right. Let's get to Matt from North Carolina. Matt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Very interesting COVID conversation there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't even think a lot of people are aware. That's not my question, so I'll get to my question in just a second. But I couldn't help but kind of interject into that or piggyback onto that conversation. But I don't know if you've heard of Dr. James Lyons Weller, prominent scientist who petitioned the FDA to remove the dangerous epitopes out of these vaccines, all of these vaccines, and the FDA, it fell on deaf ears, basically. So not a lot of people realize that, number one, the vaccine is approved for use, but has not been approved by the FDA. It's two separate things. And then the dangerous epitopes that are actually in the vaccines, you can look that up, it's all fact. They've not been removed. They skipped the pathogenic priming phase, which is the clinical trials using animals. That's a critical phase they skipped in the vaccines to rush them to market. So there's a lot of things that people are uneducated about, and it's kind of scary, and I don't think it's about a vaccine anyway. I think they're leveraging this for control, et cetera. But anyway, I'll get to my question now, which is, last week I heard you saying that Satan was bound, and I guess I got a little confused. I started thinking about Jesus and when he was tempted, and I'm going,
hold on, we got a break. Hold on.
Okay,
we'll get to this. I love what you said before. So we'll get back to this because this is good stuff. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Oh, hey, by the way, I just remembered something. We have a prayer ministry, and if you want, you can. If you need prayer, for anything, just email us prayer@carm.org, and we have a prayer team that will take up your prayers and pray for you, all right? prayer@carm.org. Let's get to Matt from North Carolina. Matt, welcome. You're on the air again.
Hey, Matt. Yeah, so my question is I recall you last week saying that Satan was bound.
Yep.
But I was a little confused because when he appeared to Christ and tempted him, was that just allowed? Was he not bound then? Or I guess the better question would be: is when was he bound?
I don't know exactly when he was bound, but Jesus says in Matthew 12:22-32 that in order to cast out demons, the strong man Satan has to be bound. Well, Jesus was casting out demons, so he had to be bound. That's the logic.
Could that have been a temporary constraint on Satan long enough
no.
to cast the demons out of the gentleman, or no?
It says a strong man has to be bound. That's what it says. Jesus said that, and. So, and then again, here's another question. What does it mean for him to be bound? Because I heard one commentator say, you can bind a dog on a long leash, and he's, so to speak, bound to a certain area, but he's still free in that area. And so, what does it mean for Satan to be bound? And I don't have the answer any more than I have the answer, what does it mean to be outside of time? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So, the Bible doesn't tell us. Does it mean he can't do anything? Not necessarily. You know, does it mean the demonic forces can't do anything if Satan's bound? Not necessarily. So
obviously, yeah, because he can carry out certain things for sure. Okay, cool.
And so some people think, well, and I think this is, you know, even though I'm all mill, I think the pre-mill position comes up a little bit stronger on this issue, in that if Satan's bound during a millennial reign, a literal thousand-year reign, then he can't do anything, everything's happy, and you know, we have blue skies all the time. That would make sense. But if Satan's bound during that time, does that mean all the demonic realm is bound also? Because it only says Satan's bound. So then the pre-mill
position
doesn't
seem like it, does
it? It certainly doesn't now. So some in the all-mill camp say that Satan's been let loose because they view the millennium as a figurative length of time, because that's the context that's used in Revelation 20, figurative use. And so they think, some say, hey, it looks like he might have been let loose 100 or so years ago. World War I, World War II, you know, famines, plagues, earthquakes, you know, rain, cats, and dogs. And so some people think that's probably what's happened, as things are getting worse and worse, faster and faster. So, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems
for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting points. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Love your ministry.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Appreciate it, buddy. God bless. All right. Let's get to Bob from Salt Lake City. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, hi. I have a question for you. So I was interested in the church being locked out, and I was thinking about John Whitfield, how they had like Puritans and Quakers and Protestants, and somehow John Whitfield was able to get all these colonies united together to make the United States. So each colony became a state, and so.
Well, it wasn't Whitfield who did that.
Save, what?
But it wasn't Whitfield that did that. But he was an incredibly good preacher. But he was involved with a lot of stuff. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Anyway, so I think it's whoever it was got all these religions to unite together, and so how they were able to put their religion together to make a United States out of these colonies. Well, anyway, so I thought it was good thought that we were able to unite, but then I got thinking about another guy that was a wrestler up by Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and like you were talking about this church is being locked out, I thought, you know, you got like 300, 400, 500, 600 people going to church, but what he would do, he still has people going to church, but what he does, he puts people like in groups of 5 or 6 families, and they shows them how to preach the gospel to one another and how to learn the gospel. And when they go to this church, they basically start off thinking about themselves, but he says when they become mature enough to start thinking about others, then they set them loose to start their own organization of another 4 or 5 families, and now he's got 8,000 people up there in some little small town in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, that like going to church. So I thought, I think we should do that. You know, if we can't go to church, then we should put ourselves in small groups. What do you think?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I agree with it. I totally agree with that. In fact, I was thinking what they could do, if I was the pastor of that church up there, one of the things I'd be thinking about doing is they got the fence around the church. Okay, everybody, what we're going to do is Sunday we're going to have a church service out in the field, and everybody bring a chair. And I'm going to get a loudspeaker, and I'm going to stand on top of a car or back of a truck, somebody, and we'll preach a sermon. We're going to have a service there. And preach it loud enough so that the security people can hear the gospel being preached. And because we don't need a church. You don't need a building. We can preach anywhere. But then what they'll probably do in Canada is, sorry, a decibel problem hurting the centipedes, you know, five blocks away. Who knows what they're going to come up with, you know? Yeah, you know, leftist wacko morons.
So I read this one book. It's about women. And it tells, like, women like in Indonesia, Pakistan, India, Russia, mm-hmm. where they were determined to preach the gospel. They'd go from town to town, organize yeah. small little groups of where they went.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool. They'd be beaten mm-hmm. for their faith. And they'd yep. be thrown in jail since they got out. They'd be going back to these small little towns. I thought, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in some countries, if you become a Christian, you expect to be killed within 10 years. Some countries, you expect you will be tortured and or murdered for your faith. I heard a story once about, I think it was in Korea, but I don't know for sure. One of those, at any rate, probably wrong, but at any rate, it doesn't matter, where the bad guys found an underground church, and they had everybody outside, and they got some sewage, human sewage, out of a area, and it gave a cup to the pastor and says, you drink this and we'll let your people go. And he drank it. Yeah. This kind of stuff, you know, it's we got a lot to be thankful for in America, that we're not persecuted like people are all over the world. The way of faith is to pick up the cross and to follow after Christ. And most Christians in countries around the world through history have been persecuted. And we need to stand up for the rights that we have and stand up for Jesus, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom to preach that gospel. That's what we need to do as Christians. Okay?
I agree with you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Okay, well, God bless.
Bye.
Okay. Let's get to Mary from Des Moines, Iowa. Mary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Like, loud and clear.
Well, shalom. And my thanks. Question involves in Genesis, and I forget where, but both Isaac and Abraham, when they were going, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac.
Yeah. Genesis
Isaac said,
22.
Where is the lamb?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. And then Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. So they both said lamb. Mm-hmm. And then John the Baptist referred to John, the Lamb of God, and in Revelations, Jesus is seen as the lamb that was slain. However, God provided the ram, and I don't know what the Jewish people would have thought of that, but I'm thinking, what should I, as a New Testament person, understand about that? And the only guess would be in Corinthians somewhere, I think Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so... would that ram mean God himself?
Okay, wait, you're saying a lot of things. So I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Okay,
so
my question is, what do you understand God provided a ram rather than a lamb?
Oh, it was just that God provided the sacrifice. In Exodus 20, because it's a typological representation of Jesus, because Abraham is the father and Isaac is the son. And Isaac took wood up on the back, on his back up the hill, as did Jesus.
Yeah, I know all and, that. What I didn't understand was both Isaac and Abraham said just before they were expecting a lamb.
Yeah, it says God provided for himself the lamb.
Referred to the lamb and the Passover lamb. So I'm wondering why it wasn't a lamb in the thicket instead of a ram. It's got to mean something, and I'm just wondering what it means.
Because in Genesis 22:8, that's a good question. Let me look at it. I think I know what the answer is. You lamb for the burnt offering, and bound Isaac, top of the wood, ninth lay his son, let raise his eyebrows, behold, a ram. And 30,
yeah, that's my question.
Right.
Why would
yeah.
God provide a ram instead of a lamb when everybody, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, was
yeah.
thinking about a lamb? And that's what Jesus is, our Passover lamb.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that's
a good question.
My guess was because of what Paul said in Corinthians, he said God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. And so a ram is a mature lamb. So I thought maybe that represented God, but I don't know what it would have represented to the Jewish people. But I just wondered what people that discuss these things from the New Testament point of view might it have been.
Well, what I was going to say is it looks like the lamb. It's just a young form of the ram. It was the same kind of an animal that was offered. And you know, I could do some research on it and see any particular relationship there. But that's what it looks like, just like you said.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was, I just wanted to share, I don't know if you've ever heard this Friday talk on Iowa Public Radio, but he has scientists on it with lady scientists. And early on, I thought she said, and I'm not sure, and I really prefer people to have a reference when they say something, but you might want to check on this, that when you have a shot or COVID, you're not automatically immune. There are other types of COVID, so you can still get that. And I'm not sure, but I think even if you've had COVID or a shot, you can still be a carrier. So you might want to check that out, because I keep hearing you say that you've had COVID and you're okay.
I've heard different things. I got to go on the CDC website and read up on it and see what they say. But I've got so much research to do. I'm reading books on, I started my second book on quantum mechanics in the past week, and we're studying that. And that's at night when I go to bed. So
get your rest. I heard that God designed our bodies between 10 and midnight, that our lymph system washes our brain. And so now I want to be in bed by 10. And because God's washing my brain as well as washing us with the word. So there you go. I don't know if that's true, but you can check that out too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have trouble sleeping. Yeah. So, okay. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Well, interesting topics lately, huh? So we have no callers waiting. So, folks, just to remind you that we're going to Israel next year. If you are curious and you want to attend with us, all you got to do is go to carmisrael.com, C-A-R-M, carmisrael.com, and you can check it out. And we'd appreciate that. We are working on the schools. That's coming up, too. And, as usual, we have lots of topics to talk about. So if you have other topics you want to talk about, all you got to do is call us tomorrow, and we can blab. And, yes, we got to talk about COVID. So if you know links and particular information that might be necessary or relevant to the topics we've been discussing lately, send it to me at info@carm.org, because I'm always looking for new information, and when I collect it, and then when I do a research project, I open up all that information and go for it. Wow, a lot of stuff. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you then. So God bless everybody. Have a great night.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.